Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all minds, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life
right here on Blog Talk Radio, Revolutionary Life, and I'm your host, Gary. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night on Blog Talk. Revolutionary Life is here Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right? You can catch us any weekday night around 7 o'clock. After 7, we're on. Unless we have some issues like we did today, guys. Today we had a few issues with our speakers or something. But I think we got that corrected. I started a new episode, same name, but part two. So in case you see that part one, skip that, go straight to part two, guys. I'll get rid of that part one after we're done. tonight on Revolutionary Life, where we discuss everything that affects our lives every day. Discuss these things from a revolutionary point of view. Makes a difference. Oh, it makes a difference. Because revolution is change. And there's some big changes going on right now. And we try to stay, we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. And so one of the things that we're going to be discussing this evening, the thing, the topic of this evening, as a matter of fact, is going to be meditation. Meditating. I don't know if you meditate or not. I don't know if you know what that is or how to do it or whether you even should do it, whether it's a waste of time, whether it's a pathway to enlightenment, according to some people, whether it's healthy for you or not. But we're going to talk about that tonight. Why do people meditate and what is meditation about? Right? And so we'll look at the good, bad, and the ugly, guys, of meditation tonight. Oh, yeah. And in matter of fact, we're going to talk about mindfulness. Now, there's some of you out there who may have heard of mindfulness because there's actually books on it, but there's actually classes, curricula in universities, and in some secondary schools, primary schools, on mindfulness, which is interesting term, but it's practically meditation of a type. And we'll talk about the different types of meditation to get out there and all that good stuff. All right. So I want to welcome everybody who's listening in. We're here every weekday night from 7 to 9. And I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show. All right? And so before our show, at some point, I will be announcing, guys. Usually it's about halfway through the show. I'll be pronouncing our call-in section. I call it Your Time to Shine. And I will be giving out my phone number, open up my phone lines, and I'll have my chat room open. So anybody who'd like to pop something in the chat, I'll be monitoring that chat, and I'll see your questions, I'll see your comments if you put them in the chat, and I'll respond to them there. All right, call me, go straight onto the air. And no secretaries. You go straight onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. So welcome, guys. And tonight, we're going to get into meditation. Why bother? I asked that question. And based on that question, I got a whole program tonight from people who believe meditation is a pathway to some great enlightenment. There are some people who believe it's a waste of time meditating at all. They don't bother. And there's some people who would like to try it out. They're just not familiar with it. And there's some people who tried it and didn't help them at all. So they quit doing it, I guess. But let's get down to it, guys. Do you meditate? Do you know what meditation is, why it is, what it's about? Why should anyone bother meditating? Or do you think you do meditate? But I don't know. Once you find out, once we explore these definitions, you might not find that you're meditating. You might think you are. So that's a good point. That's a good, another good reason for us to discuss this subject tonight. All right. I'd like to introduce this subject by pointing out that I meditate, I guess. Yeah. We're going to get into the definitions here in a minute, guys. That's why I said, I guess. But I meditate. But I don't sit in the corner and cross my legs or no, none of that. All right? And so I'll be discussing as we go along what I do. But after we talk about meditation in general, but I just want you to know up front, I meditate, but I hesitate to put that out there as something folks should do, because I think everybody, there may be people who have a different understanding of what meditation is. Maybe they don't meditate the way I meditate. There's no one size fit all meditation, I don't believe. But we'll see. There are some people, and I don't use this, but there are some people who meditate by chanting. They chant in their meditation or their prayers or whatever you want to call them. And it's not a quiet meditation at all. They're repeating a sound over and over again, whether that's an OM sound, OM, like they do in the East. Or whether that's Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. That's a Buddhist teaching, but when they go into a prayer or a meditation or whatever, they chant these same words over and 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 over again. Same words, same words, same words, over and over again. Same sounds, over and over again. And their meditation. There are some people who will pick a quiet place where people and cars and sirens and airplanes and stuff like that are not going on 24/7 every 5 minutes. And so they'll go to a park or a resort on the beach, quiet time. They'll pick a quiet time in their home when the kids are asleep or nobody's home but them. And they'll put on some incense. They'll burn some incense to to deal with the sense of smell in the room. And they'll cut down the lights to darken the room, close the blinds and the shades, shut the windows, close the blinds and the shades, and close themselves off from the outside world. And an attempt to close themselves off from the outside world, I should say. And then they try to go into a deep meditation without being disturbed by noises that might interfere, wake them up, or shake them out of their meditation state. So they look for a quiet place, dark, quiet place to meditate. And there are some people who will put on some music. You know, if you ever listen to jazz or you ever listen to music where you just got into the music, you were floating with the music. You're waiting for the next piano, the next saxophone, the next, you know, you're just in the music for a minute. You weren't thinking about anything else for that moment. But that moment, you just rocking with the music. That's where your mind was at. That's where your focus was at. That's where your attention was at, right? And so some people will put on music that will take them on a trip if they get into the music and follow the music, you know, the ups and downs of the music. And so, and they will just ride the music. And it will take them into a meditation, I imagine. I guess it does. And there are some people who meditate They would isolate themselves completely. They would go find a cave, dig a hole in a cave, or dig a hole in a mountain, or find a cave in a mountain and go in that cave in the dark and meditate, where they cannot be seen, heard, disturbed by anyone or anything. Right? Deep meditation. There are some people who cross their legs, like the yogis in India will cross their legs over and get into a lotus position, what's called a lotus position, and they will meditate in that position in a quiet place. And I could do that, but not for long. My feet go to sleep, my legs feel uncomfortable, so I don't do that. I told you I meditate, but people meditate differently. That's what we're going over right now. All right? So just saying I'm meditating is not good enough. Let's talk about meditation and how it's done. When I was a kid, there was a big thing out called transcendental meditation, TM for short. And it was basically India style meditation with the lotus position and quieting your mind. And, you know, quieting your mind and going into a deep meditation. And I don't know, they introduced that into offices. Yeah, boardrooms, offices, conferences, business people was taking little TM lessons on how to meditate. How about that? They was taking us into the business boardrooms, Wall Street. They would have a little meditation TM session for some of the employees who were interested. And so they were bringing meditation, was spreading around under the transcendental meditation idea. And it hit our society big time at one point. People were meditating, whether they were everyday working folks, whether they worked on Wall Street, whatever. They were all getting into TM at the time, transcendental meditation. And so that didn't stick around very long as a fad, I guess, because I hear nothing about it these days, TM, transcendental meditation. And I guess it just fell out of favor of a fad or whatever. However, that's where it used to be. Now, nowadays they have something called mindfulness. Now, mindfulness is closer to the type of meditation I do. And I'll talk about my method for meditating, guys. I do meditate, but don't try to get a picture in your head of me with my legs crossed in a dark room somewhere. I don't do that. All right? I've tried that. I must admit. But that's not the meditation that I've grown with now. And so the one that I've grown with, the one that's become part of my life, is a little bit different than all of that. It's closer to this thing called mindfulness. Mindfulness makes it sound like you got a lot of stuff on your mind. Your mind is full. Mindfulness. But actually, it's just the opposite, guys. It's just the opposite. This mindfulness, or it's close to the meditation that I do, and so it includes quieting the mind of thoughts, first of all. And I can do that walking down the street. I can do that sitting in a conversation with people. And you can too. But I've learned to meditate by quieting my mind. All right? If you know what I mean by quieting your mind, I just means while I'm walking, driving, talking, going about my everyday life, I think about only what I see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. I have to explain that to you, I guess. But I am distracted by my senses, not my thoughts. How about that? I don't allow thoughts to interrupt my meditation unless I initiate them. And sometimes I do. If I'm in the kitchen and I'm finna cook something, I will initiate thoughts about what it ought to be and how I should cook it up and the temperature gauge and all that good shit. I have to think about that, all right? But I don't think about my bills. I don't think about my girlfriend. I don't think about my relatives. I don't think about my job. I don't think about the weather. I don't think about anything except what I'm doing right then and now. If it ain't happening in front of me, if it's not within earshot of me, if I can't smell it, taste it, or touch it, I don't entertain thoughts about it. And I'd like to stop right there on entertaining thoughts. Guys, people who try to meditate by quieting their minds oftentimes are taken off track by thoughts. You get to thinking about something while you're there meditating. And the thoughts, you know, man, thoughts can take you on and on. You can create new thoughts on top of thoughts. A thought can take you on a path. They call it wondering. I was just wondering. When they said wondering, they're saying W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G. Like you wander around, lost, or like you're just wandering around. All right? Not wonder, W-O. Like being in wonder over something, or something being wonderful. Oh, no, no, no. When you daydream, when you allow your mind to take you places, sometimes places you weren't even thinking of, you weren't even planning on going mentally. But there you go now. You done hooked onto a thought. You have entertained a thought. That's why I stopped when I got to entertaining thoughts. You can't stop thoughts completely. Neither should you. So trying to meditate without having thoughts is a struggle. And I'll tell you why. I tell you why it's a big struggle, especially here in America. Here in the West, it's a big struggle. Because we were raised, all of us, most of us here in the West, suffer from a psychosis. Most of us in the Western world suffer from a psychosis. Yeah, we're sick mentally. It's a mental illness, a mental condition, I should say. And the psychosis is, the mental condition is, the psychological condition is incessant thinking, incessant running off at the mind, not just running off at the mouth, running off at the mind. You are always thinking. You're constantly thinking. Thoughts are always being sent to you, coming to you. There's always some shit to think about. Some good and some bad. And all those thoughts come with emotions and feelings behind them too. If you're thinking about what went down yesterday and it didn't go down right and you wish you could have done it better, you can get off into that thought and you can practice in your mind what I should have said, what I could have done, what would have happened if I'd done this. And there you go. An hour goes by and you've achieved nothing because you spent that hour in yesterday, and shit that's past, that's gone. Or you worried about that bill you got to pay. If I don't get that bill by a certain number of time, they're going to cut my, or they're going to discontinue my blah, 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 blah. And so I got to figure out where I'm going to get the money from to do this, that, and the other. So I can, because all I got now is 4 or 5 days left, and boom, they're going to hit me with this bill, and I'm not going to be able to, I might not be able to pay it. An hour goes by. Did you spend that hour? Did you use that hour up? Yeah, you did. But what did you use it up doing? Worrying about an hour from now, 5 days from now, or an hour from now is enough to blow your present moment. So you ain't here. Half the time, you are not here. Your body is sitting here. Your body is standing here. Your body is in the car. But you ain't. What does that mean? Your body is there, right there, but your mind is either in the past, and that's what most thoughts are about, guys. Most thoughts, think about it. Think about thoughts. Most thoughts are of the past, which is gone, or of the future, which hasn't arrived. Very few of your thoughts are about what's in front of you right now. Yeah. Traffic accidents, fender benders, backing into shit, backing into people, pulling out of parking lots, and everything, almost half the accidents you get into is because you wasn't there where it went down. Your mind was somewhere else. And when you realize what was going on around you for real, tomorrow ain't real. It ain't here yet. The past ain't real. It's gone. The only thing real is what's in front of you right now, that car you're driving and that traffic out there. And if you ain't dealing with that, you ain't here. And so no wonder you bump into somebody. No wonder you're slamming on your brakes. No wonder you're pulling in the lanes in front of somebody, pitching them off because you didn't put on a signal. Because you wasn't behind that wheel, your body was, but your brains were somewhere else, you know, until you have that accident. And then the police show up and everybody's exchanging insurance cards or whatever. Now you're in the present moment. Hello? Hello? If you had been in the moment, if you had been there instead of yesterday and tomorrow, and that's where you at 90% of the time, I bet you dollars to donuts. Half the people listening to me spend more time thinking about the past and the future than they do right now. And guess what? You can't change the past. It's gone. Change the future. You can't put your hands on it. It's got away. It ain't here yet. And it might not even be the way you think it's going to be. The only change you can make, the only time you can put your hands on something and change it is in the present moment. Meditation. My meditation, the way I meditate, is bringing myself and making sure, whether I'm in the middle of a conversation, whether I'm walking down the street or driving a car, making sure that I'm present. What does that mean? Making sure that I'm not in my head all the time. Making sure that I'm not sitting here thinking about 2 miles down the road or 2 miles ago. I'm thinking about the street in front of me right now when I'm driving. I'll deal with 2 miles ahead when I get there. And so my meditation is just being present, guys. No thoughts. When thoughts come to my mind, now when I first started practicing this, I used to fight thoughts. I used to keep my mind clear and catch myself going off into another thought about somebody or something that ain't happening right there at that moment. And I used to catch myself. So there you go again, going off into your mind about some shit that may or may not even happen. Or about something that has happened, is over, is gone, and you need to move on. Instead, I'm preparing my dinner, and that's all I can think about. That's all I want to think about. That's all I would allow myself to entertain. Right? The smell of the onions I'm cutting up, the temperature under the water that I'm boiling, all those kinds of things, what it sounds like, what it smells like, what it tastes like. I get in the moment, and I prepare a decent meal for myself. I'm in the moment, Jack. So I don't burn my hand. I don't cut my finger. I don't spill shit that shouldn't be, you know, knocked over, because I'm not in the kitchen thinking about yesterday and tomorrow. I'm in the kitchen thinking about in the kitchen. You thinking about tomorrow. That's why you cut your finger, cutting up your onions. You thinking about tomorrow. That's why you spill that cup of milk or whatever. You thinking about tomorrow. That's why you let the oil burn. That's why you forgot the eggs were boiling. And you let them dry out. All that shit happens because you ain't in the present moment. And half of us don't live in the present moment. It's a disease. It's a mental condition incessantly. We think and we think without cessation, without stopping. There's a thought in our mind every 5 seconds. And half them ain't about anything but the past or the future, which it ain't real. It's mental shit. Future is mental, right? The past is something you dealt with mentally. You know that. You can't physically deal with the past, but you can recall. You can remember the past. And it has emotions and effects on you even in the future. What do you think post-traumatic syndrome is, PTSD? What do you think a post-traumatic condition is? Post means it's already happened, it's past. So it's a post-trauma. It's a trauma that happened while you were in the war or while you were in a dangerous situation, let's say, or while you were being abused or something. You're not being abused. You're not in a dangerous situation. You're not at war right now. But you can recall and you can remember that past activity that gave you trauma. And right here, right now, you can suffer. You start sweating and shaking like a soldier